Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this February 1st, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. At 3:30 today, we're going to welcome in Allison Johnjack, Regional Cranberry Educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Right now in studio, we have our favorite people, Mike Kittner, Tom Bremer, Historic Point Boss. Good afternoon, you two. How are you guys doing?
Yeah,
wonderful.
Great
afternoon.
And good afternoon to everybody in Radioland.
Appreciate you guys.
We got the blessing. Now we can go.
We got the radio letter. We appreciate that. And appreciate you guys being here. I love talking to Historic Point Boss. Love talking with you guys. Before we get into some events coming up, I want to talk about the ice harvest a little bit with you and how that went.
Yeah, that was just this past weekend at NEPCO Lake with the NEPCO, or not NEPCO Lake, but Port Edwards Lions had their fishery, and we caught, surprisingly, you know, a lot of people were worried about the amount of ice we're going to have because we did have a week of cold, but we also had 11 inches of snow total, so it was kind of insulated a bit. So, but we did have 12, maybe a little bit more than 12 inches, and so we went out and cut, Tom said, what, 126?
126 blocks of ice.
126 blocks of ice and filled up the ice house and sawdust it down and everything, and everything's put away, and nobody got injured. Nobody went for the polar plunge prematurely that they're going to do this weekend. So it was a good event for everybody. We had probably about a dozen, 15 people come down to the site and saw us pack it away. And and Larry had the bunkhouse open, so he gave a little tour in there and had some hot chocolate and stuff. And so it was a good event all the way around, and thanks to all the people that participated. And a lot of the public, you know, we invite them in to kind of cut and everything, and some of them take us up on them, some don't, but we had quite a few people that actually helped cut or pull the ice out and that sort of thing. And so that's what we really want to get is the public involved. I mean, in a safe way, certainly. We don't we want to take any chances. Usually if they're children, smaller or something like that, we'll have them trim saw stuff on the side on where it's away from the open water and that sort of thing, because we moved our ice cutting in about 10, 15 feet from where it was previously, and it was still more than 8 feet of water in there. I thought maybe we'd get down to 6 because we really only need about 3 feet on, you know, for the saw to extend, but we were still, I think, more than 8 feet of water there. Surprisingly, it must be a little bit of a hole there or something.
Yeah. When we talk about, you know, bringing kids to events at the Historic Point Boss, it's in part to spark that love of history, that love of culture, love of your community, of your dirt, of your earth, that you grew up on, your ancestors grew up on. When it comes to adults and having others getting involved in these things, it's just this, it's the same thing. It's creating a little bit more of a connection. If you physically do these things, you're going to have an immediate almost tie to that, and you're not only your ancestors, but what was done before.
Right. When we talk about it, Tom knows about, there's one gentleman that cut ice and he got paid, I think, 3 cents a block. And he cut, what did he cut, 300 one day?
Something like that.
Crazy. And I know this was only 12 inches. I'm sure he was cutting more than that. But the next day and that night, I felt, I'm 75 years old and I felt 75. Normally, I don't feel that old, but I tell you that with cutting that ice, and it's a physical, I think the main reason we do it, and I think Rob Nuri, who started us on this, was to, he says, we got to know how it feels to do this, and we don't know how you feel to do it if you just talk about it, so we had to do it. So we continue to do it, probably now about 25 years we've been cutting ice. So.
Reading and hearing history is important. Feeling it is a whole different ballgame. I love that you guys incorporate that.
And some people are tactile learners.
So that's what
they have to do to learn it.
If you tell me, I will forget. If you show me, I may remember. If you involve me, I will understand. Life is like that. And that's what we do, is involve me.
That's the part we try to do anyway.
Former teacher said one time after he made a presentation to his retired teachers that he told her that he read more books since he got out of school than he ever read.
She was a reading teacher. She complimented me. I said, I've read a lot more books now than later.
You know, one of the other interesting things, as you noted, this time of year is a little different than years past. We've got some record temps, got more of that we're dealing with. But in talking talking to our weather people and any history buff out there, this was something they dealt with at times too. Maybe not as much or maybe not very often, but we see in our history that this is something. So unlike maybe in years past where we have whatever the normal winters are around here, mm-hmm. whatever normal is, people got to experience a little bit of a different taste of history.
Yeah. Right. And we talked about it. If we didn't have enough ice, that we would do like they do, like maybe Monticello, where Thomas Jefferson lived, or in places like that where they had thin ice. They actually pounded it together to make a bigger chunk.
Wow.
And it would last longer. So we would probably have to do that, I guess, depending on the situation, whenever it happens, that it may get like that. And yesterday, Don and I took the fence off the ice because we're afraid we're never going to get that fence back. And just bought a new 100-foot plastic fence, mm-hmm. kind of a security fence, snow fence around it. And so we went out and harvested the fence because I'm afraid that if this continues, I'm sure we'll pay for this in maybe March and April, mm-hmm. but will it get that cold again to freeze as extremely as it has?
And if we don't pay for it, then next year you just watch.
Yeah.
And we don't want those fishermen be pulling up orange fence off
no,
the bottom.
No. We can get in trouble for that.
So we should segue, James, into our winter feast, Wakely mm-hmm. Winter Feast, which will be at the Nakusa Community Center on Saturday, February 17th. And we start about 4 o'clock gathering, and we have some hors d'oeuvres. And Ann Rosner made some hors d'oeuvres, and she brought it to one of our meetings. Man. And it was really great stuff. I mean, we've never had hors d'oeuvres like that before. No. We've had cheese and sausage and crackers, that sort of thing.
Meatballs
but this is,
once.
Yeah, this is way beyond that. And so if you come, it'll be worth it just for the hors d'oeuvres alone. Yeah. So Ann did a really great job on that. And then
she didn't take any home from the meeting.
No.
Nothing left.
And we had savory and sweet both and that sort of thing. But Tom can go through the menu, and I think the menu will interest a lot of people. And mm-hmm. Even if you haven't, if you've already eaten breakfast, you may start drooling again.
Yeah, that's good. That's the whole idea. Mm. We've always had ham and chicken mm-hmm. With mashed potatoes and gravy and homemade dressing. Everything is homemade from us. Nice. And it's made on the site. It isn't brought in. We go in Thursday for a part of a day, all day Friday, and all day Saturday. Man. There's as many as 20 people.
I was going
to
say.
Setting up and cooking. Yeah. We're feeding 150 to 80 people, depending on, you know.
Need a team to do that.
Yes, and we have a great one, honest to God. I mean, they're. So anyway, we got dressing. This year, returned after many years absent, is salmon.
Oh,
we got a donation of salmon out of Lake Michigan. Oh. So this is not commercial stuff. This is amateur caught.
Oh, it's the first thing, and I'm already mouthwatering over here. You even got through the list.
Well, and with salmon, we know in previous years, if you aren't in line fairly early, you probably won't get
it. We kind of dribbled it out so that at least most of the people get a chance of it. We got to play that game. Mm-hmm. We're also going to do mac and cheese again.
Cool.
Now, everybody thinks mac and cheese, that's modern, the little blue box, you know. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. It's 500 years old. Mm. Thomas Jefferson served it in the White House in 1803.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't either, but I happened to be looking at a thing, and the guy's telling me this, and I'm going, and the guy is a YouTuber, but he does, we know him. He's from Indiana.
Yeah.
He's a great researcher. Mm, yeah. And so I believe him. You know, it's like... Really, you know.
That's interesting.
We're also going to do trapper's pie. Now, you've heard of shepherd's pie with lamb and Guinness.
Yeah.
Well, we have trapper's pie with beaver and Point Special beer.
Yeah. Always that perfect.
And then they always put mashed potatoes on top. Mm. Well, we put biscuits. Bacon powder biscuit on the top.
Oh, does that sound good?
That sounds good. We've done that different times with other meats and different things. So we're looking for that to do again. Mm. And then I don't imagine Mary Wakely ever made a real Italian dish, but we're having raccoon ragu with the tomato sauce and raccoon and pasta and whatever. There'll be some vegetables in there too, but kind of a I don't want to call it hot dish, but yeah, that's kind of what it is, a baked pasta dish. We're going to do homemade cabbage rolls with venison. Those have gone over the many years. Oh. We've done them a number of times, and there's never anything
left
there.
It's
got to
be a top,
and they're not huge, but, you know, you get a reasonable portion.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing roasted root vegetables with carrots and rutabagas and turnips and parsnips and onions and sweet potatoes and Brussels sprouts. And one of the gals has got a heck of a recipe, so we're just going to run with it, and there's some kind of a buttery, savory sauce that goes on. I don't know. She's making it, and it'll be good. We're doing homemade sauerkraut, which Mr. Wakely here made himself.
Made that at Harvest Fair past September.
And our friends from Nakusa made us homemade venison bratwurst to have with it. That's we've never had that before, and that's another first. And I've had their bratwurst. It's excellent. And you know, well done. We're also going to do some plain sauerkraut. If you don't happen to like bratwurst, we got that too. And then some roast squash that we grew in our garden. The apple cider that Mike talked about before comes from the apples from our own orchard right there on the site.
And some of the root vegetables also. Yep. Some of the rutabagas and turnips came from our own garden. Yep. We've been trying in the last probably 3 years to produce more and more of the stuff we use ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to, and thank you so much for that, Tom. That was a great rundown. We are all starving right now. It doesn't matter.
You haven't even got the dessert.
I got tickets in my pocket. If you need them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I should get out of the way. We got dessert yet to get to.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Dessert. We got bread pudding, which is we've had every year since. I figured it out. It was 1988 was the first one.
Right. That was the very first one. Coming up a little bit later.
Beer and Community Hall.
Yep. Wow. Good Lord, that's a long time ago. But we had bread pudding with the butter sauce. That's been a staple every time. And this time we're having sawdust cake. But no trees were harmed.
No trees were harmed
in the cooking of sawdust cake.
Yeah.
But it's excellent. We've had it a couple times before, and it's excellent.
Is there a description? Is there anything you can give us about sawdust cake? I've never heard of that before. It sounds awesome.
I would like that's a trade secret.
Okay, all right.
But
all right.
He's sitting here grinning because he brought the recipe in, and it's excellent. It's really good.
You got to go there, taste it yourself, find out for yourself.
No trees were harmed. So
the idea, James, is instead of sawdust, you're using coconut.
Nice. Yep. Nice. Very nice. Thank you for that, Mike. Thank you for that. that's great. good stuff right there. A great meal, a great night of food that you are going to be, your stomach is going to be very happy with. Also going to have some nice music down there.
Don and Ann Pollock from Stevens Point play guitar and violin, and they're going to do, they do a little of everything, but it's, I'd say, fairly close to period type music and very enjoyable, a nice couple that enjoys playing, wants to play this sort of thing, and so they come, I think this is maybe the third year?
I think the third.
Third year that they've been playing. Sometimes they have a bass fiddle player, Dennis, that joins them, but they didn't know for sure when I talked to him when I arranged it. But what we're really trying to recreate, James, is this Wakely, and the newspaper report him having a cotillion, a kind of a dance and a feast and everything else in February. And they talk about how the people came and enjoyed their day and stayed all night and slept over and had big breakfast the next morning. We're not going to do that, though. But we're recreating what Wakely did, and he did that in his inn, not his house. So cotillion was in his inn. But the newspapers gave glowing reports of all the great time people had. So.
Yeah. It's keeping that history alive as something that you guys are very good at over there doing. The domestic meats part, I'm curious, was that something that was a part of things from the very beginning? I was going to ask a little bit earlier.
Oh, you mean the wild game?
Yeah, the wild game.
Absolutely. Wild game with that. That was part of the – when we started this a long time ago, Brian McDermott, who was the first president of, at that time, Wakely Inn Preservation, he had been to a madrigal dinner at Point at the university. Now, I know about them. My brother-in-law used to belong to the chorus that did all the music. So I'd never been to one, but I knew about them from him.
Yeah.
And he was talking about it, and a few of us around the table going, wait a minute. We were looking for a fundraiser. I mean, at that time, I mean, we didn't have two nickels to rub together.
Well, you know, we go to board meetings, we pass the hat because we didn't have enough to pay for whatever we were
doing. Pay the electric
bill.
I mean, literally, that happened. Yeah. So we were looking to raise some money. So a few of us says, well, what the heck? So we hired a caterer to do it, but they wouldn't do wild game. We would cook the wild game at home. And in Nesco Roasters, you have to get a permit from the DNR to do all this stuff, which we have.
You
know, they've been really good to us over the years. They're easy to work with, no matter what anybody tells you.
Same here.
You play the game, you do the rules, you get a good deal.
Agreed.
But anyway, we would bring in the venison stew or, I don't remember.
We'd have just two
wild game dishes, and we would bring those in, and then they would serve them. And we did a great time.
Yeah, I think that in the first few years, we probably did mostly or exclusively venison.
Yeah, but
then
absolutely.
We got to know some trappers, and then the raccoon and the beaver and the muskrat were available also to us. And then over the years, we've had somebody dedicated some bear to us, and we had some rabbits and different things. So it just depends on what's available, and that's how the menu comes up. Then we think creatively, how can we serve it this year?
Yeah.
And so we've got about probably four or five recipes for each thing, and we kind of vary them a little bit. Yep. And then sometimes somebody comes in with a new one, and I've got a new one for the sauerkraut that I've been playing with, and I think maybe we'll work on that for next year.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
And it's sauerkraut and pasta and onions.
Serious?
I've tried it three or four times. I love it.
I like all three of them. Yeah, put them together. I don't see why not.
You know, I mean, that's really sweet because the sauerkraut is fairly sweet. Onions are really sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you put the pasta in there as maybe a little bit of a filler or something.
Right,
and you do about half pasta and half sauerkraut and then about a couple pounds of onions, depending how big a batch you're making. And it's really good. I think we'll try it next year.
You can put fried onions on an old tire and they're good.
We'll have a recap of this, and then maybe I'll make a batch and then serve it and see how people can try it out.
Exactly.
That sounds like a good idea, Mike. Sounds like a really good idea. We're speaking with Mike and Tom from the Historic Point Boss about Wakely's Winter Feast coming up February 17th, Saturday, February 17th at the Nacoosa Community Center. Guys, a couple of questions before we wrap up here. What is one of the more, or if the most obscure animal you have had at the feast over the years?
Probably the bear.
Bear,
yeah.
Because we have to have enough of it to make something with. So if we had just a pound or two, we couldn't do anything with it.
We had elk that one year. Your brother-in-law got us some.
Yeah.
And there wasn't too much, but we were able to put it into like meatballs or something so where you could mix it in with lots of stuff.
Yeah. So probably that was bear good. Or elk, I would think.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Oysters one year.
Yes.
Harold Altenberg brought some back from his brother Tom in Florida. And we did, you get this gift. And what are we going to do with it? Okay. So we had two kinds of dressing, regular dressing and then oyster dressing, which was a thing back in those days out in the East.
Yeah, yeah.
Sold it all. I mean, they ate it all. So whatever, and it was good.
Yeah,
not everybody liked it, but there was enough that...
Whether it's oysters, elk, bear, whatever it is, these are not meats that we cook every day or prepare every day. So I do want to send a big compliment to that team, the chefs, the cooks, everybody that prepares this stuff so well and does that. If people are trying some of this food and they're kind of curious of how it's made or anything like that, are they able to maybe pick the ear of a chef or anything like that or ask questions?
Certainly,
like
if anybody asked us, I'm certain we'd pass on a recipe if they're interested, certainly. We do have, if we have any left over. Last year we didn't have very much of anything left over. But we do put out like in 1-quart Ziploc bags for people to take with them home if we have some left of stuffing or whatever it might be. But certainly if anybody wants a recipe, there's no real big secrets here except for maybe sawdust.
Which I got to get a slice of. It's going to be on my mind all
day.
Like
I say, I got a ticket in my pocket.
And speaking of tickets, Tom, how much are tickets, Mike, and where can they get them?
They're $20 in advance and $25 at the door. And you can get them at Beavers Drugstore, Beavers Dime Store in Nacoosa. and at Daily Drug in Wisconsin Rapids, or Family Natural Foods on West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. They all have plenty of tickets, can take care of you. Otherwise, if you know Tom or myself, or I'm carrying two tickets, Tom's carrying tickets. Most all members carry tickets with them. You can hit us up too.
Yeah. And we'd like you to get them at least a little ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplying loaves and fishes is way above our pay grade.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
Right.
So
if
we know, you can always add more, but if
there's a certain point.
There's a certain point where it's like, folks,
it's not only a good idea to get those tickets early so that you know you have them, but they could sell out, so you don't want to take a chance of waiting.
We get reasonably close.
And then last year we had to put up three extra tables.
Yep.
And this year we had to even order more tablecloths because they use tablecloths out front because we do some drawings with baskets and that sort of thing, gift items. So they had to tear those gift baskets off of those tables and take those tablecloths because we didn't have enough tablecloths for those three extra tables that we put up.
Do you have something else?
They're gonna do basket raffles. I don't know how many they got.
I think about 12.
Okay.
Cool.
And you can buy candy and put the ones in the one you want. You can, right. It's not
and some of Johann's famous bowls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
nice.
Hand-turned bowls.
From wood from our site.
Right off the site.
So that is
really cool.
So cool. Very
That's
cool.
A silent auction item, I believe. Hmm. Yeah.
All of this, music, great food, great atmosphere, and you get to know that while you're enjoying your meal and you're enjoying this music and this great night, you are putting back into your community, you are helping keep history alive just by purchasing a ticket, just by giving yourself a good night.
Yep.
Like that's
yep.
You get to have that great feeling along with that.
Best of both worlds. You get your tummy full, you can get some musical entertainment, and you go home at the end of the night and really... Not any more than if you went out to a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a steal, you guys. Yeah. $20, that's a steal. That's right there. That's a really nice deal for people.
Yeah.
And something that we appreciate that you guys do with all of your events, making them affordable for our community. We greatly appreciate that. You have our back. We want to have yours. This is a great fundraiser, great night to be a part of. The Robert and Mary Wakely's Winter Feast going on Saturday, February 17th at the Nakusa Community Center, 416 Crestview Lane in beautiful Nakusa. You can find out more by going to historicpointboss.com and encourage people to reach out to Historic Point Boss when it comes to volunteering, being a part of things over there, help keep history alive like these guys do such a good job of.
Yeah, and thank you, James and WFHR. Yeah,
and we really appreciate it.
Well, appreciate you guys. We'll see you soon. Thanks for the time.
Okay.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.